Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
All right, the NFL draft. The Bears are on the clock. They've been on the clock for a while. No suspense, but I think they should take all 15 minutes before they announce who the number one pick is. The NFL will ask them to do that just for some drama.
Yeah, they get down to the final second.
Huge day in Chicago. By the way, if you're in Chicago and you are a Bears fan, you'll be locked into ESPN 1000 with wall-to-wall coverage. It's Carmen DeFalco. Joins us now. Good morning. Good luck today. This is an exciting day for y'all on the radio, but also in the city, I would imagine.
It is. It is. And good morning, gents. Not every Bear fan is on board, as you guys could imagine. There's still plenty. Caleb's got "bust" written all over him. He paints his nails. He cries in his mom's arms. You know, There's plenty of that out there. I wish I could ever say that a prospect is a sure thing. They're not. We know that. Yeah, guys could bust. If he does, I think it's got very little to do with painting nails or crying in his mom's arms, to be honest. But I think Caleb has a chance to be terrific the way I think most talent evaluators think he has a chance. I think the Bears have done a better job. Certainly the best job they've ever done in their history, you know, preparing their offense, preparing their franchise for a young quarterback. I think they can sort of develop him better than they've ever been able to do. So I'm excited. I think most Bears fans are, but there's still a group that Justin Fields hive is still pretty vocal. I'm not sure what they were watching. No disrespect to Justin. I really like him. He's a nice young kid who works hard, but I just don't get it. you would have thought he was Justin Herbert. I'm not sure what they were watching, but there's still a group of them out there, and they're pretty vocal and they're pretty noisy, and they think that Caleb will bust. So we'll see. Time will tell.
So this question might hit close to home, Carmen. So I apologize. Who will win more games this year, the Bears or the White Sox?
That's a great question. I mean, it's hilarious, which makes it. It's not a great question. It's a hilarious question. Let's put it that way. It'll still be the White Sox. But man, they're gonna press it, boys. We've done more research here on like the all-time historically bad teams because it's piqued our interest and. You guys might even know it's the 62 expansion Mets, which makes sense. They're the all time champs for futility. It was, and I believe that was the first year. I hope I have this right. I believe that was the first year in 62 that they expanded the season to 162. There was a meaningless makeup game that they didn't need to play at the end of the year, so they played 161, and the Mets went 41-20-1. I don't know how the tie happened. I'm not sure what the circumstances of that were, but that 62 team won 40 games. The 03 Tigers came close. They won 43. I promise you that this White Sox team is going to challenge that all-time record. That's how futile they are. It's pathetic.
Carm, I want to get back to the draft in a moment, but on top of the excitement of having not only the overall number one pick, but the number nine pick as well, there was the announcement yesterday about the stadium proposal on the lakefront. Gorgeous looking rendering. But I know that this isn't necessarily going over well when it comes to previous renovations that were made at Soldier Field, when it comes to tax money, too. This one's still fresh, obviously. So what are your thoughts on what you heard yesterday?
Okay, I'll set it up this way. And I know we've talked about this before. First of all, I do not go to Bears home games for a few reasons. I mean, it's Soldier Field's a disaster getting in and out of, and I just prefer watching football at home. It doesn't affect me as much in terms of whatever the stadium is like or the location of it. I'm a little surprised that they're going to build where they already are because of the logistical nightmare that is getting in and out of that place. That's not going to change. The renderings do look beautiful, no doubt about it. What does affect me as a Cook County resident is the tax issue that you talked about. There's the debt that remains on the renovation project at Soldier Field, which was conducted just a little shy of 25 years ago here. Mm-hmm. So they just redid their stadium. The debt that is left is about what the cost of the stadium was.
Whoa.
That's living in Chicago. That's Cook County. That's the politics in this state. Everybody, it's pretty infamous, right?
Paying the interest.
I am not a fan at all of any sports billionaire asking the public for money. If they want to rebuild their stadium, build it. Do whatever you want. The Bears, make no mistake, the Bears and any other NFL franchise, without question, has the means to raise capital, to borrow money, to build whatever billion-dollar stadium that they want to build. So it annoys me to no end. What will end up happening is the state is talking tough right now. First of all, they've already got the Bears. They've already got Mayor Brandon Johnson. They've got the city on board. I don't know what Kevin Warren sold Brandon Johnson, but boy, I mean, you know, Brandon Johnson puckered up real quick. So the city is already on board. They're already going to bend over backwards. My guess is the state will ultimately do the same thing, even though they're talking tough now, that they're saying that these measures will fail miserably. In the assembly right now, my guess is ultimately like what normally happens with these owners get what they want. They have a tremendous amount of clout. They're very good at getting public support on their side, which is stunning to me. I get it. We love our teams, but they play to that. They use it. They use it as a mechanism to basically screw all of us at the end of the day, because people say, well, they don't really care that much because I don't want my team to leave. So my guess is the state will end up acquiescing, and it's annoying to me. It's frustrating to me, like I said, as a Cook County resident, because we'll be the ones that ultimately have to, foot the bill for it the way we have. When the hotel tax that they have in place falls short, it is incumbent upon the residents to cover that. Then that's the other thing I hear a lot. I'm like, well, why do you care? You live there. Why do you care about a hotel tax? It's still a public tax.
Yeah.
When it's short, we're the ones that foot it. And what happens if I do want to spend a weekend at a hotel in Chicago in my own town? I have to pay a hotel tax. I mean, it's ludicrous. I mean, it just is. I don't know when the public in mass will realize that it should never, ever, ever, ever even go to a vote. It should never be incumbent upon the citizens to pay private businesses to fund their stadiums. But what owners get away with because we love sports so much is amazing, guys.
That's great.
Hey, let me on the heels of that, because Kevin Warren said something yesterday that dawned on me that I thought, okay, you got Minneapolis hosted a Super Bowl, you've got Indianapolis has all of these events. That's kind of what they're looking at with this stadium. What happened to big time events in Chicago? There is professional sports, but in terms of like, NCAA regionals on a regular basis, those kind of big events. Is that something that Chicago would embrace, a Super Bowl or an NCAA championship game in football or a Final Four, things like those things?
Yeah, I'd say absolutely. He sort of tried to play up the fact that we'd be in the Super Bowl rotation. That's comical. Yeah. And we know it, we laughed during the press conference and we were carrying it. He's talking about how everybody would come to Chicago for a Super Bowl. I mean, please. I'm assuming he is aware that the Super Bowl is played in February. That's ludicrous to think that Chicago would become part of any rotation. They certainly would get one. That is the deal that the NFL has made just to get these teams to build new stadiums because it's good for them. So, yes, they will get one. In terms of Final Fours, college football championships, yeah, that stuff would be great. And that would be fantastic. They talk about the great economic impact. Virtually every economic study you read from people who really know, you can take my word for it. I mean, read what economists for 25 years now have written. There's never a benefit to the greater good. There's never a benefit to the citizens. The only financial benefit at the end of the day is to the owners. That's it. So the idea that somehow, because we're, give us your money, so we'll build this because it benefits all of us. At virtually every economic study that has ever been conducted in that field the last 25 years dispels that myth. So, you know, I don't like hearing that from these owners either, because that's quite often, you know, a very common refrain. But, yeah, in terms of getting more events, it would be great. You'd have year-round concerts there. It's just another venue to have a concert at. You know, and stuff like that is terrific for the people that want to seek it out for major events like that. They certainly can. They tried to play up the idea of opening up this space and expanding the museum campus, and, you know, all of a sudden everybody will flock there 365 days a year. It's just it was a lot of it was a lot of flash and look at this, look how beautiful the renderings are, and well, we're going to tell you now how you're going to use it as a resident of the city or the surrounding areas. And I think most of us probably saw right through that. There's the museum campus is beautiful. I wouldn't disagree with that. But other than occasionally going to the museums, taking kids to the museum, going on, I don't know if I'm down in that area three times a year, guys. Yeah. And nothing, and that's not going to change because a new stadium and more green space is there. It's a hard place to get to. A lot of it to me is completely, and I get why they did it yesterday. And the big show of it again is to like distract from the finer points of, oh, and by the way, you're going to give us $1 billion to help us pay for it.
Yep. Yeah. That's the fine print there. Carmen DeFalco, ESPN 1000 of Chicago, joining us. To quote one of the great movies of all time, I say that sarcastically in Draft Day, of Vontae Mack, No Matter What, is it for Ryan Poles, if there's a receiver? Now, I know Marvin Harrison, the likelihood of him being available at number 9 is slim to none, but if you had a Malik Nabers or a Roma Dunze as opposed to defensive line help, is it wide receiver No Matter What at number 9 if that is available?
I think so, but Byron Murphy's name, all of a sudden there's like some steam around it, and you know, it's hard to know what's real this time of year, what's not, like what's the myths or disinformation, and what's really happening, you know, because there's a lot that's thrown out there just to try to take teams or throw teams off of the scent. So there's been a lot of Byron Murphy steam here lately, when I say lately, I'm talking like all of a sudden in the last 48 hours. And so that's kind of curious. Do they view Byron Murphy all of a sudden as the best defensive player in this draft, or, you know, where is he in terms of their overall, top 50 rankings? I think it's wide receiver or bust, but it's interesting that all of a sudden Murphy's name has been tossed out. Look, the Bears could have their pick of not only one of those two guys, but also potentially Dallas Turner, and like, do they or Jared Verse, do they have Byron Murphy rated higher than those two? Maybe they do. I don't know that a lot of teams do, but maybe they do. I still think, though, at the end of the day, guys, it'll be, if Nabers or Dunze will be there, I don't think Nabers will be, to be honest. I think Dunze is kind of their guy, and it's the one that they've circled. I will tell you, there is no smoke, there is no misinformation here. They very much like Nabers, but this is not a stretch. Everybody does. I mean, they very much like Nabers and Adunze. And I think Adunze is kind of their guy. And if the board falls the way I think they hope, and the way I think a lot of Bears fans hope, he is still there when they're picking 9, and he is ultimately the pick. But the Byron Murphy stuff is kind of interesting. It's like, man, that's really, all of a sudden, that's got a lot of steam here in the last 48 hours or so.
I always feel when the Bears select, and this happens with other organizations too, that there's always a name that might surprise you. Given his overall draft grade, but then the health concerns, Leiatu Latu from UCLA, if he were available and say the Bears decided to go the edge route, how do you think that would be viewed among Chicago Bears fans?
That's a good question. Skepticism, I think, maybe because of the injury history. I think everybody would be a little bit leery of that. I think if you've seen him play, it's impressive, though. And we talked to Field Yates on Monday. Field has him as his highest-rated defensive player. He thinks he's the best defensive player in the draft, but, you know, obviously the injury concerns are such that he said you could be certain that there are a handful of teams out there that will simply cross him off because of the injury concern, because of the neck injury. So I think fans would probably still be excited about that, but you would just, there'd be some, like, you'd be a little cautious in your optimism, knowing that we're just a couple years removed from him, probably, you know, 2 years ago, he thought he'd never play football again, or 3 years ago. So those concerns, I think, are real. I always try to put myself in position, if I were having to make these calls that actually mattered, if I were the GM, and how I would handle it. And man, it to me, it might be a cross off. I hate to say that, but it's very real when he had the kind of injury that he had. So, but I think on talent, fans would be excited. It's a name that I got to be honest, I haven't heard connected to them a lot.
Yeah.
So it would fall into the category of, oh, wow, that's surprising. And they were very good about hiding their interest in him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Carmen, as always, we appreciate the perspective in the chat, and enjoy today. It'll be wild in the reactions, especially when that second pick comes up in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that's when it's going to get interesting. You're right, and franchise altering day, hopefully.
So, yeah,
fingers crossed for all of us here.
Hey, thanks, Carmen.
All right, guys.
Carmen DeFalco from ESPN 1000. Here's where it could get interesting. They might even trade. I mean, if Newton from Illinois, who I love, is, you trade back and you can get him like 14, 15, somewhere in that range. But look at this. Three quarterbacks off the board right away. We don't know what the Giants are going to do. I still think Malik Nabers, but there's a lot of J.J. McCarthy out there, and Richie's going to blow, his mind's going to go blue. He's already texting me going, I can't handle this. But if you have four quarterbacks, Maserati Marv goes to Arizona. Latham goes to the Chargers, which they need a tackle, and he seems like a perfect fit. So you have four quarterbacks, Harrison, Latham gone in the top six picks. The Titans need a wide receiver. All of a sudden at eight, Atlanta is sitting there, and Joe Alt from Notre Dame, who's, by the way, his dad played for Kansas City.
Damn good lineman.
John, Joe Alt sitting there. Man, do the Bears trade up one spot to get what could be a franchise tackle.
If he's anything like his dad, you get him.
Yeah, so I think 5 through 10 is going to be crazy in this draft. Then after that, it'll probably settle in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the days that you really appreciate the Brett Veach, Andy Reid combos. GMs and coaches that are on the same page.
And that's your takeaway.
That outfox everybody for 3 days.
Must be nice.
And Minnesota's the team, the obvious team right now, where I think a lot of people would agree that at number five is where things have a potential of getting a little bit fun and entertaining because of a possible trade-up for Minnesota, who has been... I mean, this is if you're believing a lot of the smoke that you're hearing when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, that the Minnesota Vikings would potentially go after him. And then that way, all of a sudden, you look at the amount of quarterbacks taken, but then how that shuffles for teams like the New York Giants, where I still think they would be in a good position to take a very highly productive wide receiver, Malik Nabers. But then the offensive line part of it, and especially for Chicago, is interesting because when I think of every move that is made, especially if you're looking at not only Chicago but Washington, if Minnesota does move up, if you're also looking at the New England Patriots, if you're bringing in those guys, and all situations are not created equal, how are you supporting those guys too? Because we remember when, and this is going back again to the COVID draft, it was the Bucs making the biggest offseason news when they got Tom Brady. What was the first pick that they made? They got Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. So they wanted to protect that investment too. So you've got that. If you're the Bears, you've got that rare opportunity to protect that first overall pick investment with whether it be an offensive tackle or a wide receiver. I wouldn't be completely dejected if they go the defensive route, but if a Roma Dunze is available or you do have an alt available, I would much rather prefer those guys because that is an immediate impact on what, like Carmen said, if you're a Bears fan like me, that would be an immediate impact on trying to protect what you hope can be a franchise changer.
Yeah, I think alt, like, you know, Sewell has already been fitted for his gold jacket.
Mm-hmm. Smart on the lines yesterday,
like
too.
Alt,
Steve Sewell?
Hey, Detroit Lions are out there playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers in the division.
They're making un-Detroit Lion moves.
I love, you brought him up, Latu from UCLA. I absolutely love his skill set at 260 pounds to rush the passer. I'm thinking Hunter and Burns are perfect comps. I like him a lot. I do. But I also like Newton of Illinois. This is not necessarily the deepest draft, but if you need a quarterback, offensive tackle, or wide receiver, this is the draft for you. Outside of that, like if you need a running back or a tight end, kind of good luck. Maybe sit out this year, come back next year.
What's your wish list, by the way? Well, I know you got to wait. So, you got to wait a while, but what?
So we need
wide receiver,
so tackle, and wide receiver.
Yeah.
If they can get a Guyton from Oklahoma or the tackle from Washington, I would trade up into the mid-teens. If they can't, then they're probably sitting there at 32, and there will be a wide receiver that falls to them.
Yeah,
I know people are like, man, McConkey from Georgia, that's got the skill set that would be perfect in the Chiefs offense. No, I don't want him.
I've seen him linked to them, or at least a lot of mocks.
Better off Phil McConkey.
I would take Mitchell over McConkey.
McConkey would be. It's interesting with some of the smoke and mirrors that we see during this time of sifting through what is real. You know, where you're getting your true information from on the individuals that they really like. And, of course, you get a little idea of who they're working out. But I think when you get to the back end of that draft, too, of what is available, to me, this is where it just becomes an absolute crapshoot. Because are you going to best available, or are you going for an immediate need that you have, too? And then when you look at an organization like Kansas City that has so many core pieces – but yeah, and Jimmy, that's right though. They have a history, and this is why the importance of Brett Veach and extending him as well. You make these decisions right more times than not.
Winning teams do winning things.
And so I think of people like you and other people I know that are Kansas City Chiefs fans that even when you gotta wait, you know there's a good shot that hell, you might trade out of the first round. I don't know what you're going to do.
Or you get a guy that's like, hey, this guy's going to help us.
Yeah, it's a feeling that I really envy, where you now have a track record where you say, I don't even know if this gets me excited, but I trust the organization because they keep doing it the right way, and they're supporting the right people that they need to support in this roster.
I agree with C-Dog.
Never said that.
I said if Mitchell falls to 32, I'm setting off fireworks. So that's where the Chiefs are. He's the Texas wide receiver. You know, Worthy gets a lot of run because of his speed, what he did at the combine. But Mitchell might have the most upside of any wide receiver in this draft.
Yep.
And it's a position of need. You don't know what's going to happen with Rice. Is there going to be a suspension there? That would be a great value pick at 32. And it would just, I'm sure it would make the quarterback pretty happy. But who, by the way, throughout this entire discussion about the draft, Patrick Mahomes has screwed up the draft from here on out because of what happened in the trading up and how everybody is looking for player.
Yeah.
Hey, for an hour when they drafted him at Richie's basement, I was like, man, I don't like him.
Got Alex Smith. Yeah.
But then when I was driving home, I was listening to Sirius, and I heard Andy Reid do an interview. And he talked about why they drafted him, because I wasn't even thinking, man, he's going to redshirt while Alex Smith plays his last year in Kansas City. For an hour, I didn't like Mahomes. And I heard Andy Reid mention what he liked about him and what they were going to do with him. And I was like, I'm on board. So, you know, it is a crapshoot. But Mahomes and the drafting up and everybody looking for Mahomes, I go back to what I said at the beginning. You need to focus on where they go.
Yep.
Mahomes probably would have been really, really good. He's great where he went.
Yeah.
And that was to Kansas City in an offense and a coach that could also put him in a better position to succeed, and he didn't have to play right away.
Right.
He went to Dallas.
He got to redshirt behind Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Not many quarterbacks that go that high are able to do that.
There's a lot of people that always say every time the Chiefs and Bears will lock up and they ask me, well, how do you feel about that? You could have had him. He wouldn't have been that good in Chicago because of the situation that they were in. Patrick Mahomes.
Trubisky. He worked out well for him. we got to take a break. Next hour, Sarah Baker Hansen, Steve Sippel will stop by. The spring game coming up on Saturday. We're out at Oscars today at noon for a round table for about an hour, round table to square table, to discuss everything that's gone on in the spring and what we'll be looking forward to on Saturday with all of you. The Happer Show and USC will be out there from 10 to 6. We'll be out there at noon on 1620 The Zone.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.